Hello, everyone, and welcome to this brand new episode of Rundown Reviews. But before we get into that, I wanted to come on here and inform everybody that we had some audio issues after, 400 some odd episodes. For it to finally happen, I'm actually kind of grateful. But that being said, there's a few instances where the audio will cut out. I don't know exactly what happened. When I tried to pull the audio from both my end and from Chris's end, when Chris Rimmer is the one who guested on this episode, there was just it just cut out. There was moments where it was just getting staticky. I was able to cut around a lot of it, but there's still a couple instances that will pop up throughout the episode, as well as Ron's audio is lower, and there's nothing I can do to fix that. We record on one mic here in our lovely basement with all of my comics. But there's just, for whatever reason, his audio just didn't pick up as well, and I do not know why. Also, there will be a few times where the audio will change from, my voice will change from what you hear to what you're hearing now. There was a couple moments where I actually do remember what we were saying, and I'll be jumping in and repeating that because it was mainly just me talking. So that being said, the rest of the episode itself is wonderful. The topic was great. So let's go into that awesome music that our good friend Cam from Rekpa Podcast made for us.
Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay. Come along, it's time for you to listen to this review from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
Rundown Reviews. Yeah, I had never seen it before that, and I think if I probably went back to watch it now, I'd have more fun. But I was watching it for the first time, like trying to what is the tone of this movie? Like, what he's trying?
Yeah,
I saw it as a kid for this time.
There you go. Like, and there's gonna be a ton of movies like this movie, for example, Tales from the Crypt. First time I watched it.
Yeah, same here.
It was not that long ago the first time I saw it. It's been probably a couple of years, but still, like, I didn't even know it existed until then. So,
Yeah. Because I mean, you say Tales from the Crypt, and everybody thinks the TV show.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So,
or like the movie that they did.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, which we might. I mean, technically, it's based off a comic book, so we'll have to watch that one too.
What was the other one? There was Demon Knight, and it. Bordello of Blood is the second one. Like Dennis Miller. I never saw that.
Yeah, that and those came out in the 90s. Well, hell, maybe we'll have to
join. I'd love to.
That's gonna be a while. Like, ironically, going through my list, there was a shit ton of movies from so we have it broken down into categories. We've got Marvel, we've got DC, we've got animated, and then we have other. Tales from the Crypt falls under the other category. So does a shit ton of other movies that I didn't know existed. So, like, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. That's a comic book movie.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, I remember that being a thing, but I didn't, yeah. It's funny that, like, I guess somehow Tim missed this one. Maybe this didn't fall under his theatrically released at the time or something?
That it may not have. I want to say they filmed a lot of this in England, and it may have just aired in England. I didn't check out that. Because, like, when we get into the budget, and hell, you know what? Just go ahead and start right now. I mean, we're about 7 minutes in, but hey, this is Rundown Reviews, guys.
I need my mic out.
Yeah, but I'm going to cut out, like, that first minute.
Oh, okay.
So,
that's still 8 then.
Shut up.
Stop. I do math good.
I got to work on my background, man. I got to get a different – I get backdrop. Like, I'm looking at, yours is, I don't even, what's going on back there? Are you like on a lower level?
Right there, there, right there.
There, like that's okay, cool. I didn't know you guys were in the same room. That's awesome, dude. But like, yeah, even exactly. Like you got books stacked behind you, and it's kind of like raised. You've got the books
behind you. These are all I'm my like, traits.
If you want to see my neighborhood, open my blinds.
Yeah, these are all my traits. Obviously, you've seen them before. Ron has bought, has got my comics, say a floppies behind him. All of these right here.
Yeah.
There you are. All those right there. And then
I like that tattoo, dude. I just thought I got a glimpse of that tat you got there, man. The league, man. That's awesome. Is that new or have you had that for a while?
I got that.
That's rad, dude. I love it.
Here, hold on a second. Move your arm just for a further.
What's up? What
the whole thing wasn't in.
Ow.
That's killing.
There you go.
I want to get on there. I want to get like the symbol, the Justice League symbol. Now I can get Martian Manhunter because I know he's in it. Hell, maybe I'll throw in Darkseid. Maybe I'll throw in Adam.
Or Granny Goodness, apparently.
Eventually, I want to. Oh, like Granny Goodness. So
with me today is my co-host, Ron. This is where he would normally say, hey, but this is added audio, so hey. And also from
DC Squadcast comment or DC Comics Squadcast and the Horror Comics Podcast. It was fitting I had to bring him on for Tales from the Crypt.
Oh yeah.
We've got Chris.
Hey. Hello. Thanks for having me.
After our 12 minutes of banter.
Yep.
Love it. No, that's perfect though, because I mean that's just kind of that's how this show is. Yeah. It's fun, it's wonderful, and yeah. So but we're doing Tales from the Crypt, guys. This movie, I enjoyed it, man. Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to having something to make fun of.
Yeah, no, so
there are some things, but
so I don't know if you took much notes, Chris, or if you just gotta kind of wing it off the top of your head, which if you are, that's fine. I tend to do that a lot anyway.
I watched it for the second time this morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like we tend to take notes, but with the way we do the show, we tend to watch the movie before we record. So a lot of it's fresh in our head.
Yeah.
But I still try to take notes. I didn't take a lot of notes because I was actually enjoying what I was watching.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It is. It's I'm trying to find it now as I'm scrambling now because I'm like, oh wait, there was something I wanted to look up. And it's there's one like gory part that I kind of forgot about. It's not bloody though. Mm-hmm. That is there, but I think that there is a version of this movie, and now I can't find it, but they
are you talking about the guts?
Well, I think that there was maybe I'm thinking of the Vault of Horror, but I thought I could have sworn it was this one. That there's like the alternate cut of this movie where you have more of like the like gory kills, but I think I'm getting it mixed up. But like it's funny, how different this is from the comics as far as the sort of certain aspects. But as far as the stories go, they actually stick pretty true to like what the actual comic does, mm-hmm. especially the all through the Christmas one, All Through the House.
What was it called? Yeah. All Through the House.
That one's like pretty dead on, like, you know, no pun.
So you were right. Wish You Were Here, the Monkey's Paw one. That was edited. Let's see, what was it? This scene was originally cut in order to get a PG rating, and then it was restored in later versions.
Okay.
So
that's maybe what I'm thinking of. Yeah, because on this, it's like you do see the like it's the embalmed body, so there's not going to be blood, which is a good detail on their end. It's like it's already been, he shouldn't have been embalmed yet, because didn't he just die like right before that? Because
yeah, he died.
Or did some that time pass death. That I'm just
no,
it, no, it was that day.
Well, but they didn't really say like time, like so when so in the what the third no, story, no, yes, but I see what you're saying, but they also didn't give like time frame much, like the 2 weeks before Valentine's Day, and then the very next scene is Valentine's Day, like
okay, but no, but with the thing, they called him and they're like, hey, we found this guy in this car, Rick, in his car on his way to your office. And they're like, and the guy's like, oh, okay. Well, you need to go tell his wife. And then he goes over and tells the wife. And she's like, no, he can't be dead. I'll wish him back.
I mean, yeah, that was okay. Fine, fair. I'll
he's
give you
been embalmed like that. I mean,
already, which
still, I just that was the one thing I was like, oh, their attention to detail is immaculate. Oh, wait a minute, he wouldn't have been embalmed. but as far as the gore, it's very like Empire Strikes Back. Like I thought they smelled better on the out or bad on the outside. Like that kind of guts that you see. But then like there's the severed hand and stuff. So I'd be curious. To
that
see
hand
what
was fun. Like
they cut
that
out
awesome. That hand still moving and then like flopped under his chest. And
that's good. It's a good animatronic hand. They did a good job there.
Yeah. So this movie, the budget for this movie was 170,000 euros and apparently ended up making over $3 million US. At least that's what Wikipedia said. I'm assuming that's also after it was theatrically released. And apparently I can't read because I said euros and I meant pounds. So back to the episode with all the jokes.
That's all right, pound that. What? I don't know how they say it. That's how everyone talks for some
that's
reason, except for the Crypt Keeper. The Crypt Keeper's American.
Which
so,
what happens when you go to England? You're like, I'll give you a pound.
God damn it. but yeah, that you brought up Crypt Keeper. That it was not shocking to see him that what the actor is Ralph Richardson. It wasn't shocking to see him as a Crypt Keeper. But I was kind of expecting the Crypt Keeper, like the skeleton and the laughing. And that's, I mean, it's.
To me, from the book, it's like, that's kind of the key. Well, I mean, as far as the way he looks, I could see, because like the TV show went like extreme, like it's a corpse. The book is more like, just like a warty old like hermit, you know. So it can kind of see that, but it's just not. We put like a prosthetic. You know, anything. Like, just make him not as, you know, grandfatherly. But I mean, that was the point.
Like, no, you're fuck ugly enough as this.
He's also a sir. What's his name again? Sir,
Sir Ralph Richardson.
And
I didn't put sir in the last time.
But doesn't he speak? He's a sir in this, but it seems like he's speaking like he's not speaking like British. He's like American sounding, right? Or am I wrong with that?
You're not wrong. Well, they all had some American sounding throughout, didn't they?
A lot of them. A lot of American.
Most of them were British.
Really?
That's where I was like kind of thrown off because it's like Sir Ralph Richardson, but I don't know. Maybe he got some sort of pardon by the Queen there over there.
Maybe they wanted him to sound like he was an American, so you know we thought that he was darker and more evil.
Maybe so. I don't know what's happening in history around this time.
Who knows? 72. I don't know. But yeah, so like I said, we got Ralph Richardson as the Crypt Keeper. And we have five different tales. So I'll go through each tale real quick and give a couple actors and actresses from it. The first one was An All Through the House. It had Joanne Collins playing Joanne Clayton.
It's Joan Collins. Yeah,
there we go. Joan Collins. Okay, look, reading is hard. Words are hard. I don't
know.
They're
all awful. All words are terrible.
They are.
I
can't say no. Martin Bode as Richard Clayton, and then Chloe Franks as Carol Clayton. Let's see. The second story was Reflection of Death. Ian Hendry was Carl. Susan Denny was the mom, Mrs. Matt Maitland. Angela Grant was Susan.
Whatever.
Oh, well, Blake. His girlfriend. But yeah. Let's see. Poetic Justice. This one was, I really like this one, the third story. Robin Phillips was James Elliott, the douchebag son. Yeah. David Markham was Edward Elliott, the dad. Peter Cushing was Grimsdyke. And then it has Robert Hutton as Mr. Baker with the neighbor. Wish You Were Here was Richard Green as Ralph Jason, Barbara Murray as Enid Jason, and then Roy Dotrice as Charles Gregory. And then the last one called Blind Alleys. Nigel Patrick as Major William Rogers. Patrick McGee as George Carter. And then George Herbert as Greenwood. I believe Greenwood was
the guy that died, the dead blonde guy.
So out of these five stories, like I said, I really enjoyed the Poetic Justice, not just because Peter Cushing. I really like Peter Cushing, but I really did like that one.
It's so depressing, and it's like got real life. There's a reason why he does such a good job.
Yep.
But even as like the comic story itself is just very like, I mean, it follows the story pretty closely. It's just really, really depressing, but it ends in this, the way that you'd expect. And then what's the guy's name? Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day is the son. So who's the dad to that character in this movie? The stuck up son. I don't know why he reminds me of him for some reason. His dad, the kid that dies he's not even a kid. He's still living.
He's like, yeah, but he's like 25.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know if he's supposed to, is it a Grease thing? Is he supposed to be like 15 years old?
Yeah, he's doing a bad job acting it.
Yeah. Yeah. That like when his dad, like, that was one of the moments that like I had to kind of like laugh because his reaction when he's like, he sees the heart in the letter. But
that's what made it awesome.
The heart's great, man. That thing's still pumping too, yep. Of course. It's very like comic booky and like just perfect. And it looks really good too. Whatever prosthetic they use is amazing.
They did an amazing job. And I mean, you would know, have you read all of these stories in either Vault of Horrors or Tales from the Crypt, or
I've read for sure. I have read the Christmas one. I can't remember where they're at. I used to know off the top of my head, but I don't anymore. I've read that one. I have read Poetic Justice. I've read the what's the one called where he's like the husband that's like leaving his family to go off with the affair.
Reflections of Death.
Yeah, I've read that one, and I think that might be it.
So,
yeah, I haven't read the final one. I've never seen in there, but okay. Yeah.
So Reflections of Death and Blind Alleys were originally in the Tales from the Crypt comic. All Through the House was in Vault of Horrors, and Poetic Justice and Wish You Were Here appeared in The Haunt of Fear. So the fact that they were able to pick, and they are, I mean, they're all those magazines are obviously kind of the same. But the fact they were able to pick from all of them and put it in this movie, was kind of cool. And I think when we do Vault of Horrors in a couple, this comes out, when it comes out, it'll be 2 months after this comes out, we'll be doing Vault of Horrors. I'm assuming it's similar, like it's the similar anthology style.
Yeah. And I was wrong when we were talking before on Twitter, like talking about doing these movies. I actually have seen Vault of Horror, and okay. I was just pulling it up. That is the one I was confusing with this, where it's like there was an alternate R-rated. Well, I think it is still okay. R-rated. There's an alternate cut where they like, basically the one that you see now, they like, it's like when someone's about to die, it goes into like a freeze frame. So you miss the death.
Oh, really?
But they actually shot the death scenes, but it like got an X rating or something. It was too, violent at the time. Okay. But maybe you can find that version now, because apparently it is out there. But
I mean, we're going to watch whatever version's on YouTube when we watch it. So
yeah, exactly. So we'll see. But it's very similar. It's not all stories from Vault of Horror. They pick from whatever the family that you see. Yeah.
Which is, it's pretty awesome. Because, I mean, the history more than I do. But, like, EC Comics was around the 40s, 50s until, like, the 60s? Or
whenever the I should have prepared for the comics.
I'm sorry about that.
No. I should have. That's like such a big part of it. But I'll start getting it up while we're talking about it. But, yeah, I mean, they were a big part of the – that one and, like, Warren Publishing – doing like creepy and eerie and all that really got hit with Comics Code stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, like I know because it's based off a comic book, this comic series, technically, I figured we throw some knowledge out there, especially for these other titles that we cover. Like, because perfect example is in a few months, we're going to be covering Weird Science. I never knew Weird Science was a comic book movie, but it's based off a comic book. So, and then when we get to that, I'll dive into the comic aspect and talk about that way.
Yeah.
Being horror comics, it's one of those where people know about horror comics. I didn't know if people knew that Tales from the Crypt was based off a comic book. They, like I said, everybody just assumes it's a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So, cause that's what I always thought when I heard about it. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's weird too that this movie, like, I mean, even like getting into, I don't think that I knew this movie existed until like really digging through the history of like EC and all that, and just try to, you know, it's like the tab that pops up on like Wikipedia or something. It's like other entertainment or other media. And it's like, there was a movie in the 70s based on, I was like, whoa, what?
Like, I have to watch this.
Yeah, that's crazy. And, you know, so there it is. So I don't feel like a lot of people don't know about this. And like we were talking about before, it's kind of like, there's a lot to really enjoy. There's a lot of this that's really well done.
It's a hidden gem. It really is really, really fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Ron, you want to give the quick rundown of what went on?
So we start off in a cemetery. People are getting a tour of the crypts. They're told to stick close, not get separated. So naturally, the five people, the main characters, get separate.
Because why not? How do you know that they're main characters?
It's literally the first thing they do, too. It's just like, they're like, okay, well, you guys, cheerio, see you later. We'll come right on here. You guys head on ahead of us. We'll be there later. Okay.
So as they get separated, a random wall opens up. Yep. And they, of course, walk through it.
Well, it's the doorway. It's the way to go.
Yeah. And they get trapped in there with a creepy dude in a robe that's like, come sit down. I've prepared seats and beverages. Okay, the beverages lie. But then he proceeds to tell them why they're there. And we get the worst murder ever.
Yeah. That was, although I will say the effect of showing the blood on the newspaper.
That was awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So bludgeons them to death in their living room on their white carpet with their white furniture and their white rug.
That's fine.
In she got plain out. View of their daughter's room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the first
one. The windows open, door unlocked, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Doors unlocked, the window shutters, the curtains, they're all open.
But then they have the explainable, explainable comic science of, oh, look, there's a murderer in town. He's dressed up as Santa Claus.
This just in, broadcasting. Yeah. So, naturally, he shows up at their house. She tries to lock him out. But her daughter lets him in because he's dressed up like Santa Claus. Yep. And, you know, kids. Yeah, yeah, let's just let random stranger dress.
It's not a stranger. It's Santa.
Yep.
That girl's like 10 years old. If she doesn't know by that point in time, she deserved what she got.
Hey, my daughter's 14. She still, I think, believes.
But would she let him into the house?
I don't know. Maybe.
That Santa Claus didn't have a finger.
Beard's hanging.
Look. So, like, those reindeer get hungry sometimes.
Funny story, reindeer actually will eat people.
See?
I don't know if that's all true.
Right, move on. All
right. Funny story, so that's absolutely true. I don't know if that's real or not, but they won't. They will.
Makes sense.
Who knows? Hopefully they do.
Next we get a man who tells his wife he's got to go do a business thing and is actually leaving her with his mistress. But while they're driving in the road, the really bad mistress driver. Don't let your mistress drive your cars, guys.
Yeah.
makes sense.
Anyway.
Anywho. So they wreck the car. Guy wakes up after the car wreck. And this is a first person view that we get, which is actually pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody's scared of him. He goes to go home to like his actual house. And his wife freaks out and runs away. He looks at the door. Oh, it's somebody else's name. He looks in the window. She's already got another dude. Uh-huh. And he's like, what the fuck? So he goes to his mistress's apartment. She's like, you've been dead for 2 years. And he's like, nah. Then he looks in the mirror. He's like, ooh.
That's pretty cool, though. I did like that fact. Awesome.
And then he wakes up in the car just before she wrecks.
To repeat it all over again.
Repeats all over again. Third story. We get this little asshole kid. Well, like 20-something.
A trust fund kid. Go
yeah,
that.
Trust fund babies. Fucking trust fund babies. Yeah, I'm talking about you. He wow. knows who he is.
Okay.
He knows who he is.
Damn.
Billy Joe.
You know who he
is. Billy Joe.
Okay. So this asshole basically makes it his life's mission to make Tarkin's life miserable. In order like to get him to sell his house. But instead, he commits suicide. Now, dude, this is actually really sad.
Yep.
The story was sad.
Yeah.
But he comes back from the dead. And
a year later.
Asshole. Yeah. Like, happy VD, buddy.
Yeah.
Did we get the fourth story? Yep. Yes. So these guys are in debt, wish for money, get the money from an insurance policy because she basically kills her husband with a wish. Then she wishes for him to come back, and he comes back in pain because, well, we already talked about
the Yeah.
And then she chops him up, and he gets to live forever as a bunch of pieces.
Which sucks.
In pain. Last story, my personal favorite. We got a home for the blind, a bunch of old blind dudes.
Yep.
They get a new caretaker who's an asshole. Was it Major Asshole?
Yeah.
Who's got this
Major
dog,
General.
A cute little German Shepherd. Adorable. Just fluffy and everything. Anywho, he starts spending the money on
himself, basically.
Buys stuff for his office. He's drinking wine, eating all this fantastic food, while they can't even have heaters, and they don't have any real food, really. One of the guys, one of the blind guys, dies because of the cold.
And illness. I mean, he was sick, too, but yeah.
Yeah, but the guy does nothing about it. And then they get their revenge by tricking his dog into the basement and then bullying him into the basement. Like they literally, you know, frog march him basically into this basement, into this spare room. They lock the dog and him in separate rooms, then build a labyrinth full of fucking razor blades,
which is awesome.
It was badass. So that the guy has to like wedge his way through this tiny little opening with razor blades. He cuts himself a couple times, but you know, whatever. But they've had the dog in there starving for weeks.
2 days.
Well, he said 2 days while they were still working, building, right? He said, I haven't eaten in 2 days.
Yeah.
At least feed the dog. And then they still built. So I assume it took him at least a week.
Maybe. I don't know.
Whatever. This dog is super hungry, right? So the labyrinth leads from his room to the dog's room. And as he gets towards the door, they pull a string that opens the door. Dog starts chasing him. They turn off the lights right before he gets to the razor blades. And then all you hear is screaming, and that's the end.
I mean, it's
fantastic. It's
a perfect comic. Just
desserts.
Yeah, perfect horror comic story.
Like, the last story is basically Saw issue zero. It's like the beginning, you know, it's like the same kind of, but it's, I don't know. I love that story. I mean, just the idea of them building this, being able to build this labyrinth of horror, with the razor blade. Now, you know, I wanted it to be like, look, the guy's got a big, heavy jacket on. Like I would absolutely like just turn it around and like, knock the razor blades out of the wood because they're really just kind of on there. But I don't want to say that because they tried really hard to build this. I don't want to tear it down for them because he deserved the torture.
Yeah, he
did. I don't know that, like, I mean, God, dogs really love their owners. I don't know that they would eat them. But, you know, it is a movie. It's based on a comic book. So anything is possible. But I did love the story. I'm trying to, I was going to bring something up and I already lost it. It was the thing that I like about, God, remind me again, sorry. What was the one where he's having the affair and he's going off?
Revision? No, Reflections of Death.
Yeah.
It's just the like unexplained time loop. I always love that in like a comic book.
That's what I'm gonna bring up.
What's the reason for this, Taiwa? Why did he dream about that? They just had a, he's a psychic apparently, but that's not really part of the story. I always think that's really funny, but I did love the idea of shifting the point of view after the wreck. Then you see the rest of it, well, until he wakes up again. You see the rest of it from his point of view. And I thought that was a really cool like kind of shift of like just storytelling in and of itself, and you know, coming across all these people and then finding out that it's like 2 years later or whatever, even though it's all, I mean, a dream, I guess. I don't know. He's in a loop, but he just keeps, maybe he's in hell and he's just gonna relive it. I don't know. They don't really tell you, but like, I just dug the storytelling aspect of that, of going to like first person and like seeing himself in the mirror finally, and then like she was blinded, which kind of, you know, ties into that final story too. But it would have been a really smart move to have her like be one of the characters at the end there, but I digress.
I mean, it's also one of the things that all of them are there because they were all dicks in real life, which is why they're in hell, which is why they're in the spot they're in. It's the Ebenezer Scrooge, just the end of it. Like him actually dying. And redemption. No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
why did he dream it?
I guess
he really died. He died in the wreck. So he's not in a loop, but he just happened to dream about. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He tried to change it. This guy just, when he woke up, he just didn't have time to change it. He just fell into the loop.
He should have pulled the wheel the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Exactly. I mean, classic affair.
And be right, you know, there in your hands.
And this is a fact, actually. It's statistical. It's weird, and I don't know why this is, but like when people are like having an affair and they're about to escape together, they don't ever wear seatbelts. But really, it happens in Europe a lot with British people, and they don't wear seatbelts, so they just get kind of thrown through the front of the car, the windshield. And it's a weird occurrence, but it only happens in Britain. It's really strange, but. It happened twice in the movie, so we know it's true. And I just made all of that up.
Well, there was the other affair in a British movie where they lost their heads. Hot Fuzz.
Wow. Wow.
I love that movie.
That's a great movie. I haven't seen that one in forever.
Dude, it's been a while. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll go into a few more fun facts I got. Peter Cushing is said to act as himself in this movie. Cushing's wife had died recently, and he was very depressed. His character is a widower, who used the Ouija board to talk to his dead wife. So I know my girlfriend Emily was watching this with us. It's all sad. It's all depressing. And then I told her that aspect, and she's like, oh, God. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was still waiting for the dancer to show up after the Ouija board, though.
Right? Like, what are you trying to say? Dancer? A reindeer coming my way? Didn't work out so well for Santa. He lost a finger.
John. It was Tiny Dancer.
Oh, Jesus.
I do like, I've never seen a Ouija board operate like this, though, with, like, using the, whatever you call the little teardrop.
Yeah.
Like, to basically go. No, and then using this other thing with like a chalk on it. I've never
seen that before. Same, which is very interesting. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it's a much more interesting like aspect of a Ouija board than like having 15 people with their hands on it. Be like, oh no, you're pushing. No, I'm not pushing. You're pushing. Whoa, and it says hey or whatever. It's like it's much. I don't know. It seems a little bit more intimate and kind of like creepy if it has like a chalk or whatever it was attached to it, drawing out the word dancer. He's like, oh, danger? No, what I said was dancer. Why? I don't know. Like, well, I just tried to
go to the strip club.
You're lonely. You need someone.
Here's some entertainment.
You have my blessing, husband. I'm long gone.
Technically, when they show the grave, I think she had died, which. Fair, like they were married. I think they said married and lived in that house for their whole life.
Yep.
She had died, according to the grave headstones, about 12 years prior, 11 or 12 years prior. Damn. So It's why he became a fun, you know, guy on the street for the kids. Like, hey, it's whatever.
Yeah.
And then that douchebag ruined his life.
So. Right. God. And then gets rewarded by joining Green Day and selling multiple platinum albums. Like a dick. Doesn't happen.
September ends. It's fine.
You doesn't want to keep these albums. Have like a heart.
I don't know, probably.
You say, yes, it does. They do. Like, it's like it's supposed to be like a grenade, but it is a heart.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I forgot.
There's we're talking something
a
here.
A musician here.
There's something here.
There is something there.
Okay.
His hairstyle, the heart. You might be onto something.
But he's got better teeth than Billy Joe. So I will say
that. That was before he died.
Yeah. That's true. Yes. Yeah. That was.
Perfect. Stephen King and George Romano considered remaking this movie together. Their work together resulted in a completely separate but similar movie called Creepshow in 1982. So that's fun.
Yeah. Have you guys seen Creepshow?
I have not.
I have not.
Incredible. No. I was going to actually reference because, like, Poetic Justice, there's a story in Creepshow that is very similar. But it has Ted Danson and Leslie Nielsen, and it's fantastic. It's similar in structure,
okay.
But in the topic, it's a little bit different. But it had to have been inspired by this. Creepshow is amazing, though. It's awesome.
Oh, okay.
George Romero and Stephen King. And Stephen King actually is the sole, like, solo actor in one of the stories by himself. He's the
oh, nice.
I think he's the only character in the story. And he's goofy as hell, but like still,
I mean, that's Stephen King though.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And it's
anytime he pops up in any of his movies, it's like weird to see him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he knows how to act, but he really doesn't know how to act.
Yeah.
And it shows.
Yeah. That's probably why he's always acting like really goofy and like, or some outlandish yeah. thing or it's like, he doesn't have to.
Or that's him.
It's possible too.
Yeah. But yeah, Creepshow is incredible. It's really good.
Okay. Let's see. Peter Cushing wanted to do the movie so much that he took a lower fee, which is pretty awesome. The role of Mr. Grimsdyke, Peter Cushing's character, was at first a tiny non-speaking role, but was greatly expanded when Peter Cushing took an interest in the role. So I think I told you that while we were yeah. watching it. The script underwent many drafts, most changes involving the Crypt Keeper. The first draft had them speaking to the audience directly, and the third draft did not have the Crypt Keeper at all. And then by the sixth draft, it was decided he would interact with the people in the stories. So basically what we got.
Ralph Jason, played by Richard Green, the mansion or the Grand Mansion house in the segment Wish You Were Here is the same house that is featured as the London house of Gregory Peck and Lee Remick in The Omen.
So that's some fun stuff. I know there was.
What year was that?
1976.
Okay, so this was before. Okay,
this was before.
Cool. Very cool.
I know there was another fun fact I didn't write down, but this movie and another movie was being made practically at the same time, so they used the same sets. So that's fun. I think we see that a lot in movies anymore where some certain ones will, especially in the 80s, 90s, tend to reuse sets and props, and now everything's digital.
Yeah.
So,
well, like a big example of that is the original, like the Bela Lugosi Dracula, the Universal Monsters version of Dracula. They were filming the Spanish version of that, like literally at the same time. So they would like finish shooting on a day for Dracula, and like the Spanish crew and actors and stuff would come in and use the exact same sets. They had the exact, it's like shot for shot, the same movie. It's just in Spanish. And it's like, it's pretty cool because I have a Blu-ray set that has both versions. And it's like a lot of the film is like historians and stuff that kind of go, they're like, the Spanish version is actually like kind of a better movie. Like, and I'm like, I don't know. Like why? And there's reasons and stuff like that, but I don't have an opinion on it really, but I love it in general. But it's kind of a cool idea of like, I don't know, using sets, but that's like in like real time, like, all right, shot's done. All right. Now we bring in this Spanish crew and they're going to do their thing. And like, it's just like a constant shooting schedule there, but yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Though. That's actually pretty awesome. Let's see. Is there any other things we want to talk about before we get into the ratings? Chris, you got anything? Yeah. We'll do the banger here in a second. You got anything else you want to say about the movie?
I mean, I'm sure that like we could go on for forever. I'm just trying to think of like a good and like pertinent things there. It's like, I don't know. I kind of like the idea that like it is set like, oh, they're at this, you know, these catacombs or whatever. And it's like, careful, because it could get dangerous. They're touring. Of course, they get separated, like you said. But like, then it's like, well, we're all just casually here. And then when he starts asking, like, what are you doing here? It's like, then it's like revealed that like, well, I was going to go see my family. It was like, and then, I don't know, just that aspect of like realizing that something is off before the first story even starts, I thought was kind of cool, of like questioning what's going on. When he's like, there's a purpose, sit. But he has to tell them everything that he has to tell them like six times before they actually do it. He's like, sit down. I have a sit down.
Sit. Well, the funny thing is he says the first time, Joanne sits down, and then he's like, sit down, and the rest of them start to sit down. Then the last guy, I think it's the guy that got embalmed, was the one that just kept standing. He's like, I'm not doing this. What are you talking about?
Like, there's a purpose, or is there? It's like very like, I don't know. But I do like this guy as the Crypt Keeper. It's just he's rolling in his grave right now, being like, this guy, I'm a sir, damn it. But like, you know, it as not being the, like the creepy looking thing. I do like it.
Skeleton, zombie
body, as he, cause it's just completely emotionless and just like, you know, but it, and you mentioned the talking to the audience thing. It's like, it does end with that. Like perhaps you,
yep.
But, yep. Yeah, I still think it's an effective, like cool, fun
movie. It's a good job. Yeah.
I do have one issue.
What's your issue?
The guy from the monkey ball?
Yeah.
How did he end up there? He was going to live forever.
Oh!
Maybe.
He was the first to go out into eternity as well, right? He was the first one to fall out the thing. Yes, damn it! What? How did he get there? What's going on?
Well, maybe his wife... Because the owner of the statue could make the wishes. So maybe his wife gave the statue to somebody else.
I was going to say, she should have been like, oh, instead of, okay. So first thought is, oh, I better get a samurai sword and chop this, my husband up. As opposed to like, well, I am giving you the statue and you can either and his soul to move on, or wish that none of this ever happened, and I'll just warn him to not leave the house because it's going to go badly. I don't know. Probably the best move is to just be like, just, you know, wish.
I can't remember exactly everything we talked about at this moment, but I know cremation got brought up, which leads us to this discussion.
They're all like wriggling around.
So, that would suck. Oh, God.
Like, all the ashes turn into like little tiny versions of his body. And they're all in anguish following her.
Hey, Ash! Screaming. Ash!
Huh? Oh, Jesus.
Tiny little ashes?
Yes, yes.
Army of Darkness?
Love it. Love it.
Give me! But like an army of those?
would that mean that like all the little pieces of him would have his sentience? So like if he were to blow in the wind, like... He'd just be everywhere.
Do they come back together, or do they stay?
They would be alive and probably separated, because the hand was flopping by itself.
That's true. That's true.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's true. But now you've ruined that last story for me. Why is he there at the end?
Good point. All right. So you want to go ahead and do our movie bingo?
Okay. So we had product placement.
Yep.
The razor blades.
The razor blades yep. had actual
merit or yep. whatever.
Yeah.
The fourth wall break yep. at the end. Dead parents. We're only counting this one because
the first story,
the deck the halls or all through the house.
Yep.
She kills the dad, and then the murderer
kills the mom. Yeah. So dead parents. So therefore,
that girl's parents were dead.
So she becomes Batgirl. Batwoman, whatever.
There you go.
She'd have to become something that hates Santa.
That's true.
A no. Jewish man?
Wow.
Oh, there we go. There you go.
But she's a girl.
And it's inclusive and diverse. I love it.
All right. Then we have, of course, the Comic Book Logic, which covers the news broadcast on the radio, covers the whole psychic, like seeing his death before his death.
Yep.
Covered.
They could cover why he was in hell.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Fair enough.
The one guy in hell.
Anyways, we got that.
Comic Book Logic. And then
the last thing we have is Betrayed by a Friend, which would be the dog.
Yeah, we said the dog was...
Oh, it's incredible. You're right. You're right.
So, yeah, so we got a bingo.
Me too, Brute.
This is our fourth bingo? I think so. I think it's like fourth or fifth. Yeah, we've got a list of things we track during these movies. And it's been fun doing that.
His message from Beyond the Grave, did you already say that? That should be one, right? He got one. He got Dancer from his wife, Peter Cushing.
Yeah, but so these are the ones that are mostly universal from all of them. You know, like our list is pretty up there too.
Dead parents, rejecting powers, dying mentor, inability to control abilities, responsibility shit, villain monologues, government interference, unexplainable science, comic logic, love triangles with yourself, as in Clark Kent, who loves Lois Lane, who is in love with Superman.
Well, Billy Joe kind of got a villain monologue, though, didn't he? He went on a few of those about the about Peter Cushing's home being an eyesore.
He got a few of those.
Got a point.
Every one of his scenes actually should be considered. He brings the roses back. He's like, somebody destroyed.
That's a good point. From,
what was his name? His flower.
Thank you, Chris. Mr. Banker, or Blocker, or Booker,
Grimstad.
Grimstad was Cushing.
Yeah, so someone destroyed his flowers. That's not what he sounded like at all, but that's just my go-to. Yes, but I mean, he kind of gave it a lot.
What's up?
All right, so we also have the costume design montage, identity revealed to villain, training montage, identity crisis. Identity revealed to a friend, identity revealed to a love interest, origin reveal, origin flashback, reformed bad guys, betrayal by a friend, product placement, the Wilhelm scream, heroes killing someone, and then breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, so we got a nice list that we keep an eye out for on the.
All right, enough of my ramblings. On to the ratings.
Chris, why don't you go ahead and give the first rating?
I really do enjoy this movie a lot. I say it's tough. I don't know why. It's just, I always take away a point for like pink blood. They had a little bit more red in the blood this time, but I got to give them like all the points for that prosthetic heart, man, that was still beating. Like that just looks great. And the reveal of it is great. Honestly, as far as horror movies go, I'm kind of at like a 7 on this. I really am. Like, that's pretty high for me. And like, this is above a lot of modern movies.
When Emily was sitting with us watching it, she was like, the cinematography on it was just amazing.
It's
awesome.
Yeah. Like, it's very like European. So, it is very like, it is very like European in nature, as far as the way there's a lot of zooming and zooming out and a lot of like using. Okay. So in the final story, whenever he's going through the razor blade, you know, tunnel or whatever, there's this shot where it's like, it's looking at like his face. It's the close up, you know, of his eye. Yep. And like the background is moving to simulate him moving, but it gives this kind of weird effect that I think is really cool. So it's almost like he's probably standing there still. They're moving this background thing behind him. And just.
Well, his eye was moving too. Like he would move his eye with the background. So maybe maybe it was just like the camera was on him and he was actually moving.
On like a track or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, the effect is really cool. And I like that. They do. There's just some tropes. And I mean that in a good way of your like European and British filmmaking and television and just cinematography that I think is really cool here, but it's just drenched in that and I love it. So it reminds me of old like classics, like zombie, like Lucio Fulci and like Dario Argento have a lot of these similar tactics of like using zooming and like moving the camera while it's zooming. Like the most famous thing is like Jaws, Steven Spielberg, of like, you know, mm-hmm. the depth perception. It's different than that effect, but it's similar. And I think it's cool. So I that's a big thing that sticks out for me as far as the way it looks. And I think it's awesome.
Nice. Rival?
I actually too am going with a 7. I like the stories themselves.
Yeah.
You know, people that are assholes in life get their yeah. comeuppance and death. I also, the last story was just is great. Watching the dude go through the razor yeah. blades, and then the light shuts off.
Right, that was, I mean, it was through. It was perfect. It really was yeah. perfect.
Oh yeah.
So, I'm kind of right there with you guys. I'm going to go up just a little bit. 7.15 is mine. I really enjoyed this movie, dude. Like it was fun. And watching 7.05.
That's what I said. 7.5.
Okay. So, and just watching it all was, I had fun. I enjoyed it.
Oh yeah. It was fantastic.
There was jump scares a little bit here and there. Emily, my girlfriend, watched it with us. She jumped a couple different times. It was great. It mm-hmm. well-deserved. Well-deserved. And actually, putting it to our list, it makes it number 4. Right behind the Doctor Strange and Batman Mask of Phantasm, yep. which is tied for number 2. And then just above Danger Diabolik.
Hold on. It puts it at number 5. Superman's number 1. Flash Gordon's 2.
Why do I not have Superman on here? Interesting. Okay, so yeah, Superman is number 1.
Flash Gordon's number 2. And then Doctor Strange, Batman, Mask of the Phantasm are number 3.
Yes.
No, wait. What did I miss?
You said something about
Flash Gordon.
Diabolical something? Anyways. What?
That's so Danger Diabolik is another Italian comic. It's basically a James Bond-esque movie.
Except he's a bad guy.
Yeah, but he's like, he's more vigilante than hero.
Okay, cool.
So I need to add in Superman on this list.
And that about wraps it up. So I'm going to hand it off to Chris so that he can plug where you guys can find him.
Find DC Comics Squadcast. Our Twitter page is just at DC Squadcast, and our Instagram is at DC Comics Squadcast. The Horror Comics Podcast, I believe the Twitter is Horror Comics Pod. But if you search Horror Comics Podcast, it'll pop up. I get the email and the Twitter handle confused all the time, I don't have any other social media for Horror Comics Podcast. So Horror Comics Pod on Twitter. My personal Twitter is at Rev Rim, and I think that's it. I think those are the spots where you can get close to me and get close.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
I don't know why that was so creepy, but it was. Sorry, guys.
Because it goes with the horror motif. It just was.
I'll do the editing if you need me to.
Now you're good. I want to give a shout out to our friend Cam for doing our music for this episode for the show. If you guys want to find our shirts, we've got them over at Redbubble and at TeePublic. You can hit us up on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown. Or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. And that's really all I have for the outro. Our next movie that we are covering will be Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero from 1980 or 98. So
nice.
It'll be it's a cartoon. So if you guys didn't understand that.
Everybody freeze. Oh.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's not Batman and Robin,
it's coming down the road. That's we're getting there.
Can't avoid that one when doing comic
books. Yes, yeah.
It's historic and it's
no. We like to make fun of movies.
We nitpick similar to what we do on Comic Book Rundown. We nitpick the shit out of these movies, especially if they're bad. If they're good, like this one, we end up just watching it and enjoying it. Myself not taking notes because I forgot. But yeah, so again, Chris, thank you for coming on, man. And
thanks for having me.
Of course. And we will talk to you guys next time.